So I'll remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 20. Judge Owl shouted, brandishing the gavel he'd clenched in the claws of one foot.
Stop him! Too late!
Retio screamed, but Officer Hawk was already leaping forward, the rat spinning, the cuffs flying free from his wrists and catching the bird right across the forehead. Hawk gave a cry, his wings flailing, swooped past Retio and his now unconscious guards, and crashed headlong into the back wall of the courtroom. An instant of silence, and bedlam burst over the gallery. The mice and otters packed into view the trial, all trying to move away from the center aisle, Retio jumping up onto Hawk's back with a laugh.
You want to bring me up on charges? You're going to have to do a lot better than this!
Guards! Judge Owl was yelling now, but Retio only laughed again, digging his claws into the wall and scrambling up to the window.
Sorry, Judge!
Retio vaulted onto the windowsill.
If they ever wake up, your guards are going to have headaches for days!
A swinging kick to the glass, and it shattered outward.
But don't worry, you'll see me again.
Retio's voice dropped, a growl of pure malice.
In fact, I promise you, I'll be the last thing you ever see.
He turned and leaped through the window.
I'll be the last thing any of you ever see.
From The Deadliest Game by Leland Spuckler, South Point Books, Ottersgate, 1727. Judge Owl tapped his gavel, and the room slowly fell silent.
"The purpose of this hearing," he announced, "is to determine whether enough evidence exists to bring the case of the Nibbler Clan versus Rat to trial."
At the defendant's table, Rat shifted, let his eyes dart to the table on his right, the six clan heads seated there, Mr. Spinner at this end, Aunt Meline at the other. Clenching his paw into a fist, he couldn't help thinking that this hadn't been one of his better ideas. But,
"Relax,"
Kylie's whisper stroked his ear, her paw touching his.
"This'll all be over quick enough."
He looked at her beside him, her smile making his stomach relax. And it didn't hurt that the entire town council was sitting at his table as well. Eight mice Rat didn't even know that well. Oh, sure, he'd met most of them, had even gone to school with a couple. But when Kylie had first showed up at his cell in the branches of the Bailey Oak the morning after he'd turned himself in and had told him the town council would be appearing on his behalf, he'd almost asked her,
"Why?"
Before all the pieces, Kylie's words to Aunt Meline, what Hawk had said the night Rat had run off, had clicked into place.
"This isn't about me,"
he'd said to her.
"This is a showdown between the town council and the clan heads, right?"
She'd taken his paw through the bars.
"It's very much about you. You've been an example to all the mice in this town who always thought they were low and unimportant. They hear about you, the things you've done, the difference you've made here and out in the world, and they start to think that maybe they're not such nobodies after all."
He'd blinked at her for a moment.
"But those stories are all lies. I mean, I ran away, left everybody in the lurch, was pretty much the biggest idiot this town has ever seen. What did I ever do that wasn't a mistake?" "That's exactly it."
Her smile had absolutely dazzled him.
"You weren't afraid to make mistakes. You showed folks that getting knocked down just means you have to get back up and give it another try. And in a place like this, where the determining factor in most folks' lives used to be what part of town they were born in, stories about someone who came from nowhere and became Ottersgate's best-known resident, well, that's more powerful than you might think.
A clearing of throat brought him back to the courtroom, Judge Owl raising a wing to point at the clan heads.
If the plaintiff and her counsel are ready, they may begin.
Mr. Spinner rose.
Thank you, Your Honor.
He adjusted his purple ascot and stepped forward.
We mean to show that the defendant, with malice aforethought, did attempt to take control of the Nibbler clan by killing two of its...
Mr. Spinner, the judge interrupted, this is not a trial, so I'll thank you to save the speeches. Just call your first witness, please.
The mouse glowered, then said,
Nurse Tara Wren.
The door at the back of the courtroom opened, and a wren in a white vest hopped out from between the spectators. She flitted to a perch on the stool beside the judge's dais, and a falcon bailiff asked her to swear to tell the truth.
I so swear,
she answered, and Rhett suddenly remembered her. The lodge booth, a tangled mass of wood and metal, Uncle Boris dead among the girders, the wren in white who'd showed up to help. Rat shook the image away and concentrated on the proceedings.
Nurse Wren, Mr. Spinner was saying, you were among the first at the scene, were you not?
Yes, sir. I was at Mercy Hospital then, and we were putting up our booth just across the way.
And did you see the defendant standing safely outside the wreckage?
Yes, sir, I did.
Was he harmed in any way?
The Wren cocked her head.
Not physically, as I recall. I asked him if he could walk, and he didn't reply. But he did move away from the scene after a moment. I lost track of him then in the confusion.
Walked away completely unharmed.
Mr. Spinner nodded and sat.
Thank you, nurse.
The judge gestured to Kylie.
Ms. Nibbler?
Kylie rose.
Nurse Wren, you say the defendant seemed physically unharmed. What did you mean by that?
Well, I saw no blood, nothing obviously broken, no external signs of injury.
The wren shrugged her wings.
He seemed more in shock than anything else, and as we were in a triage situation, I determined that others in the wreckage needed help more than he did.
You've dealt with patients in shock before, I take it?
Oh, yes.
And Rat's shock seemed genuine to you?
The wren nodded.
I've seen that same look on plenty of faces, let me tell you. There's a certain sick shiver to the eyes that I've never seen any actor duplicate.
Thank you.
Kylie sat, and the judge told the wren she could go. Mr. Spinner stood once the nurse had left the room and called out,
Dr. Samuel Swift!
Again, the doors at the back opened, and an older bird in a blue corduroy vest limped in, his sour smell making Rat smile, all the times he'd snuck out of bed to spy on Grandpa and Dr. Swift's late-night card games.
I so swear,
Dr. Swift told the bailiff in that gravelly voice. The spinner looked at his notes.
Dr. Swift, you treated Raymond Nibbler for most of your career, did you not?
Dr. Swift glared at the mouse.
I was Raymond's friend and physician for many years, yes.
Was he in good health before he died?
Like many elderly mice, he had cardiofibrosis, a condition that weakens the muscles of the heart.
Mr. Spinner tapped his claws together.
So something like, say, the death of his son in a building collapse could conceivably cause the weakened muscles to fail.
The bird clicked his beak.
Medically speaking, there's no hard evidence that mental stress can affect the condition one way or the other. We usually tell our elderly patients to avoid stressful situations, to limit physical exertion, to eat right, to get plenty of rest, but that's the same thing we tell all our patients, actually.
To avoid stressful situations.
The spinner nodded.
Thank you, Doctor.
Kylie stood.
Did my grandfather follow your advice?
Dr. Swift gave a little chuckle.
Not as such, no. The workload he carried on the town council and as clan leader, I told him many times to give up one or the other, but, well, Raymond was Raymond.
He certainly was.
A ghost of a smile pulled at Kylie's whiskers.
In fact, Doctor, he'd just been re-elected as clan head the day before he died. A very stressful process, wouldn't you say?
Well, the way he threw himself into it, it certainly was.
Dr. Swift cleared his throat.
Raymond always told me he'd rather go out fighting than sitting in a chair with a shawl wrapped around his shoulders.
Kylie's voice got quieter. And when you examined him and my father's body the month before, you found no trace of any foul play?
None at all in either case.
Thank you, Doctor.
Kylie sat, and Dr. Swift rose from the stool as Mr. Spinner's voice rang out, Captain Rollo Hawk! Hawk was in full uniform today, the light from the windows along the courtroom walls glinting off his badge. He stalked down the aisle, perched on the stool, and gave a gruff,
I so swear,
when the bailiff asked him to tell the truth.
Captain Hawk!
Mr. Spinner opened a folder on the table in front of him.
In your original report on the collapse of the Mouse Lodge booth, you wrote, While the investigation turned up no evidence of foul play, it still cannot be ruled out entirely.
He looked up.
What did you mean by that?
Hawk gave a cough.
Everything I saw pointed to a collapse due to natural wear on the structure, but I had my doubts at the time.
His eyes moved to meet Rat's.
I've laid those doubts to rest in the years since.
But,
Mr. Spinner went on, when it was still fresh in your mind, you questioned the accidental nature of the calamity?
Further investigation proved my doubts to be groundless, Mr. Spinner. I submitted a subsequent report in which I...
This report?
The Spinner dug another piece of paper from his collection.
Dated 2 months ago?
He gave the Hawk a stern look.
Really, Captain, don't you think the report you filed immediately after your investigation of the collapse would have more factual relevance than your thoughts on the crime 11 years afterwards?
Hawk's neck feathers ruffled.
In the first place, Mr. Spinner, no investigation either at the time or afterwards has ever uncovered anything linked to the booth collapse that could remotely be classified as a crime. And secondly, the conjectures I made in that initial report were based on my misapprehension of the character of the defendant.
Misapprehension?
Mr. Spinner took another paper from his folders, touched a claw to it, and read,
Highly suspicious, a probable flight risk, recommend an immediate warrant be issued for his capture.
He held the paper up.
Your words, Captain, from your report on the death of Raymond Nibbler. You're referring, if I need to refresh your memory, to the defendant.
He set the paper down with the others.
Do you deny writing that, Captain?
No, sir, but...
Thank you, Captain.
Mr. Spinner sat down, and Kylie bounded up.
Captain Hawk, since you wrote those reports, have you had dealings with the defendant?
I have, Counselor.
And do you still find him to be highly suspicious and a probable flight risk?
A smile twitched the base of Hawk's beak.
The defendant was instrumental in helping us stop a serial predator who was stalking around Ottersgate 3 years ago. And this past summer, he helped solve the crop theft at the Brackens Farms before the Air Force was even called in to investigate. I may still find him a probable flight risk, but my suspicions as to his character have been fully allayed.
So, the follow-up report you filed 2 months ago?
Was in anticipation of these proceedings, yes.
He gave Rat another glare.
I knew the defendant would come to his senses sooner or later, turn himself in, and let these erroneous charges be aired in open court. I wanted to make sure my recent observations of his character would be as much a part of the record as my mistaken impressions of him from 11 years ago.
Kylie smiled.
Thank you, Captain.
My pleasure.
Hawk stepped from the stool and gave Rat a wink so tiny, Rat wasn't sure he'd really seen it. Must have just been a twitch. Mr. Spinner was on his paws by then.
Corin Spinner!
He called out. Rat blinked, turned, saw Corin stomping down through the spectators. The bailiff met her at the front of the courtroom.
In the name of the Lord Tiger and the Lady Squirrel,
he asked,
do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Well, duh!
Corin threw herself down onto the stool.
I'm not stupid!
Her father cleared his throat.
Ms. Spinner, you were present when the Mouse Lodge booth collapsed, were you not?
Yes, but I already told you I didn't see anything.
She stood.
Can I go now?
Corin.
The spinner's voice had knives in it.
Well, I didn't.
Corin whirled to face Judge Owl.
I never liked Rat, sure. I mean, nobody did, but he didn't do anything that day or any other day.
Corin!
Mr. Spinner shouted. Corin waved a paw.
Okay, he broke a few streetlights, but he was a stupid kid. That's what stupid kids do.
The judge cleared his throat.
Ms. Spinner, if you'll just answer the questions, please.
But, Judge, I'm only here because Daddy said he'd cut my allowance if I didn't say what a jerk that rat is.
She stuck her chin out at her father.
But he's not nearly as much of a jerk as some folks I could mention.
Laughter in the courtroom, Judge Owl pounding his gavel till quiet fell.
Mr. Spinner,
he said then, glaring at the mouse,
do you have any relevant questions for this witness?
The spinner was glaring, too.
Apparently not, Your Honor.
Nodding, Corin stood, but Kylie was faster.
Just one thing, Kylie?
With an extravagant sigh, Corin fell back onto the stool. Kylie smiled.
You say you never liked the defendant? Well, of course I didn't!
Corin's snout wrinkled.
He's a rat! So that's the only reason? What other reason do I need? But he didn't do anything to you, didn't... What was it you said? Didn't do anything that day or any other day?
Corin blew out a breath.
Okay, I mean, he helped out at the lodge a bunch, and the stories... Well, he couldn't really do all that stuff everybody says he did, but, I mean, look at him!
She waved a paw.
He's just a jerk, same as every other jerk!
Another big sigh.
Can I go now? This is, like, way too early in the morning for me.
Kylie nodded.
Thanks, Corin. Whatever.
Corin pushed herself up and headed for the back of the courtroom. Rat looked over at Mr. Spinner, scowling at the papers he was reorganizing, and saw Aunt Meline rise at the far end of the table.
Your Honor,
she said,
if I may.
The spinner's eyes snapped over.
Meline?
Aunt Meline didn't look at him.
After viewing the proceedings to this point, Your Honor, Nibbler Clan wishes to withdraw its complaint against the defendant.
What?
Mr. Spinner sprang up.
You can't!
I can, Terran.
The look on her face was one of contrition, but Rat could smell nothing but cold calculation from her.
All these years, I've been grieving for Uncle Raymond and Cousin Bors, and I've wanted so much to have someone to blame for their deaths.
She looked at Rat.
But now, actually hearing the evidence, well, there's no case here, no case at all.
She turned back to the judge.
Nibbler Clan withdraws its complaint, Your Honor.
Judge Owl nodded.
Then this hearing is adjourned.
He rapped his gavel.
But, Your Honor!
Mr. Spinner held up his files.
I have more witnesses!
Mr. Spinner?
The judge ruffled his wing feathers.
The charge we heard this morning concerned an attempt to take over Nibbler Clan, and as far as this court knows, that is the only specific charge still outstanding on the warrant issued for the defendant's capture. Nibbler Clan has withdrawn that charge. Therefore, this hearing is adjourned, and the defendant is free to go.
All rise!
The bailiff called, and Judge Owl stood, spread his wings, flapped up to the entrance to his chambers. Voices burst out behind Rat, a couple cheers mixed in, and Rat turned blinking to Kylie.
What just happened?
Kylie grinned up at him.
We won. But...
He turned, looked into the departing crowd, Aunt Meline walking away, her family around her.
But how? Aunt Meline hates to lose more than anything else.
He felt her paw on his elbow.
Now come on, we've got a party to get to.
With so many matters of urgency to concern us, the state of our schools, the continued coarsening of our society, the liberties taken in this town by those who have done nothing to deserve them, the question of what one rat did or didn't do more than a decade ago becomes increasingly moot. The future lies before us, and we must turn our attentions toward making it a future all mice can be proud of.
From the unpublished memoirs of Terran Spinner. Rat yawned, rolled over on top of his stump, the spring afternoon sunlight wonderful in his fur. 2 weeks since the party, and he'd just about recovered. It had definitely been a night to remember, the parts he could remember, at least. Everyone in town had jammed into the Mouse Lodge. Not Fisher, Skink, or Bobcat, something Rat had groused about, till Kylie had mentioned that nobody had seen those three in the week since the equinox. That had made his whiskers twitch a little, and he'd told her that he'd go out in the morning to see what he could track down. But then,
Well, with Cam and Alren and their kits, a bunch of his former classmates and teachers from school, rabbits and squirrels and every bird for miles around, even the hombakas, the jaybirds, Aunt Malene, briefly, for crying out loud, her frown maybe not quite as frosty as usual. He'd eaten and talked and danced and gotten involved in a drinking game with Trek and the off-duty Captain Hawk, and after that, well, after that, things got a little hazy. His next clear recollection had him sprawled over the couch in Kylie's front room, a phrase he'd heard on the Ngaishan docks rattling through his head, "The only cure for a real hangover is death." A week he'd spent lying on that couch and waiting for his paws to feel like they could maybe hold him upright, and only now, a week after that, did he feel like he could maybe head over to Fisher's. He was still a little shaky. He kept whiffing something strange in his own scent. Not bad, really, but sharp, different, a new touch he'd never sensed before. And he wasn't sure he'd be able to find much at the Sycamore after 3 weeks anyway. Besides, the worst danger he could imagine to those three was that they'd kill each other. Just about anything else they could probably handle. He yawned again, sat up, stretched. Wouldn't hurt to jog over there, though, just to...
Yo, Rat!
A familiar voice and tickle at his whiskers, and Rat sat up, scrambled to the rim of the stump, and grinned to see Bobcat padding across the clearing, his eyes bright, his ears perked, not a trace of catnip anywhere around him.
"Damn it, Bobcat!" he yelled, waving his paws. "What's the big idea missing my..."
But he stopped, another scent stroking his whiskers, the unmistakable smell of a rat. A black and brown rat, he could now see, a little bigger and somewhat older than he was himself, moving easily alongside the much larger cat. He had an orange sash around his middle, a couple billy clubs attached to it, and a satchel over his shoulder with the words "Overton Patrol" stenciled on it.
"Yeah," Bobcat was saying, "I'm real sorry about that, but me and Fisher and Skink had to take care of some stuff."
The Overton rat's eyes came up to meet Rat's as the two approached, and Rat found he couldn't look away, the same look of cold and professional appraisal there that Rat usually associated with Captain Hawk.
"So anyway,"
Bobcat moved to sit at the base of the stump, the rat settling in beside him.
"This is Mr. Chalby. He was asking around town about you, and, well, since I was coming out here to ask you something, I volunteered to show him the way."
The other rat inclined his head slightly, those sharp eyes never leaving Rat's.
"I understand you go simply by Rat, sir,"
he said, his voice also very much a cop's voice.
"Well, I'm Topple Chalby, and I was hoping I could have a word or two with you."
Was all Rat could say, the first rat he'd seen in 5 years, and a member of the Overton Patrol as well. But he pulled himself together as quickly as he could.
Sure, Mr. Chalby, I'll be right down."
Turning, he forced himself to move at a regular walk to the roof door, but he couldn't help scrambling a little through the halls. He knew that the Overton Patrol had been slowly expanding back into the areas they'd covered before the fire, but he hadn't expected them to get as far as Ottersgate for another couple years. At the front door, he stopped, smoothed his forelocks, tried to compose his expression. Then he opened the door, stepped outside, and held a paw out to the other rat.
"Pleasure to meet you, sir. If you'd both like to come in, we can go round back to the kitchen, where we'll all be comfortable."
Mr. Chalby took his paw, his grip as firm as Rat had known it was going to be.
"No need for any bother, sir. We just had word about a rat going on trial up here, and thought we'd better send someone to look into things."
He released Rat's paw.
"Seeing as how we haven't had the personnel to stop by here in over a century and all."
Rat nodded, started to tell Chalby that he knew all about that, when Bobcat laughed and slapped a paw against Rat's back.
"What, you came all the way up from Overton just to check on this guy? That whole trial thing was bogus. Everybody knew it. I'm just glad they finally got it all cleared up."
"Indeed."
Chalby didn't look away from Rat.
"We've heard stories about a rat from Otter's Gate, even down our way."
"Stories!" Bobcat snorted. "Listen, one thing I've learned the past couple weeks is, most stories are a bunch of bunk."
He waved back toward town.
"You ask anybody in Otter's Gate, they'll tell you he's okay."
Chalby nodded.
"There actually seems to be a wide range of opinions, if I might put it that way."
Yeah, yeah.
Bobcat tapped a claw on the ground in front of Rat. Anyway, Rat, thing is, see, I'm getting married, and I wondered if you'd mind, you know, standing with me as my second. His words snapped Rat's attention away from Chalby, and he stared up at the Bobcat's striped face.
You,
he started, but something about Bobcat's forehead, an ash-colored circle somehow pressed into the fur there, it smelled almost curial, but with a disturbing touch of dust and bone mixed in. Rat gestured.
What happened to your head, Bobcat?
Bobcat cleared his throat. I'll tell you about it someday. And I'm using the name Garin now. Somebody used to call me that a long time ago, and I figure it's about time I got a real name, you know? Rat blinked.
Okay,
he said after a minute.
And you're getting married?
Yeah. A smile curled his snout. I kinda asked Garson to marry me, and she kinda said yes.
You?
Rat blinked some more. Bobcat was a slob, a stoner, no older than Rat was. How could he be getting married?
And Garson?
They weren't even the same species. He shrugged. Fisher said she'd do the ceremony and everything, but I've got to have a second, right? I'll understand if you don't want to, but...
No, I mean, yeah, I'll do it. Sure, I'd be honored, but I guess I never pictured you as the marrying kind.
Bobcat, no, Garin, rubbed the strange mark between his eyes.
Yeah, well, me neither, to be honest. But the last couple weeks, I kind of ended up thinking about a lot of stuff, and I can't live without her. Don't want to live without her.
His smile widened.
And she said yes. I mean, can you believe it?
Pure happiness radiated from the cat's fur, clean and sharp, and suddenly familiar, Rat unable to stop his own smile. It was the new component he'd sensed in his own scent, he realized, a bone-deep contentment of the sort he'd never really experienced before. Laughing, he slapped Bobcat's leg.
Hey, I gotta throw you a bachelor party, don't I?
A clearing of throat beside him, and Rat looked over to see Mr. Chalby smiling, too.
Thank you for your time, sir. I think I have enough information for my preliminary report.
He turned and nodded to Garin.
Thank you for guiding me out here, sir, and congratulations.
Another nod to Rat, and he started away toward the trees. Rat blinked after him, realized he'd somehow passed whatever test the patrol rat had had in mind.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chalby,
he called out.
Stop by again if you're ever in the neighborhood.
Clapping his paws, he looked up at Garin.
Oh, and I know just the guy to play the wedding. You do like calliope music, don't you?
Resolution.
Lana clenched her paws into fists at the sight, but she couldn't look away from him holding Melee close.
You can't do this to me, Rat!
She shouted, her voice echoing along the cave walls.
I love you!
Rat fixed his deep, dark eyes on her, nothing there but pity.
You never loved me, Lana. You only loved the power I gave you over your father, the way you could threaten the whole Spinner clan with me.
Oh, it's not true!
She wanted to rush to him, but with the collapse of the stone bridge, the chasm was truly uncrossable.
I mean, yes, it was true at first, but now...
Now nothing.
The pity in his eyes hardened into something else, something Lana would have given anything not to see there.
You tried to destroy the one thing I had, Lana, my reputation, and you very nearly succeeded. In the end, the only one I could truly count on...
He looked down and stroked Melee's ears. Lana almost screamed when the insipid little nibbler pressed her paws into his chest fur and gazed up at him.
I always knew you were innocent, Rat.
I know.
His whisper just reached her, and Lana fell forward as the two of them kissed, their tails twining around each other, the touch she'd dreamed of for so long. She wanted to grab one of the stones shaken loose by the bridge collapse and fling it, hurl it at them, or maybe smash it into her own eyes to keep them from seeing... Seconds seemed like hours, but at last they parted, and Rat looked across the gorge at her.
Go back to town, Lana. Those kits you said I killed should be running across the East Bridge by now, putting the lie to every charge you ever brought against me. Maybe you can think of something on the walk back, but Melee and me, we'll be long gone.
Her claws bit into the palms of her paws.
Gone? How? In case you forgot, Rat, this cavern only has one entrance.
She snatched up some pebbles and threw them into the chasm, the echoes clattering, clattering, fading to nothing.
And with the bridge gone, you and your precious Ms. Nibbler are once again on the wrong side.
Rat shook his head and gestured to the cave's back wall, a mess of tumbled rocks and boulders, and a crack part way up, its shadow in the torchlight fairly large.
"Some of us have good reason to believe in the Curials," he said.
"No,"
Lana heard someone whisper, her own voice, she realized.
"Rat!"
But all she could do was watch him slip his paws around Maylie's waist and lift her up to the crack, the mouse scrambling through, turning, reaching down a paw, helping him clamber up and in, his eyes sparkling back at her for a moment from the darkness.
"Have a nice life, Lana,"
she heard him say. Then he was gone. From A Rat's Reputation by Sanjin Tanner, South Point Books, Ottersgate, 1740. Alphonse caressed the last notes of the wedding march from the pipes, let the chords sing through the afternoon air, then pulled his claws from the keys, turned in his seat, and looked out over the assembly. Just their backs, of course, but at least from the grand calliope's perch, he could see over them to the shaman's dais, tucked in the shade of the big oak tree at the end of Ree's Meadow. The shaman herself smiled there, the bobcat groom in his white top hat, the rabbit bride in her lace shawl, her maids of honor, rabbits and mice from the town, sniffling to one side, and on the other, standing next to the little skink and looking more than a little uncomfortable in the red vest and boutonniere of a groom's second, Ratayo. No, he was just Rat now. Alphonse smiled. Trust that one to make a name for himself that wasn't a name.
"Got a problem for you, son?"
A soft, rough voice asked above him, and Alphonse looked up, saw Earthmover peering down from the image of the High Ones pressed into the bronze frieze over the calliope pipes.
"Oh, not at all, sir,"
Alphonse said in quiet, high-assured, not wanting to disturb the ceremony.
"We both knew he was special, something he's certainly proved over the years."
Earthmover gave a little snort, a basso rumbling from the largest calliope pipe.
"All I knew was I wasn't about to let that poor little rat kit lay there and cry till he died."
"Sir?"
Alphonse blinked at the opals of Earthmover's eyes.
"But I'd always thought... My grandmother, she always said you had picked this rat out to fulfill some great destiny. And look!"
He gestured to the dais where Ottersgate's shaman had taken the right front paws of the rabbit and the bobcat and was pressing them together.
"Our rat has helped to change this town in ways unimaginable before his arrival. He has brought us to understand how you High Ones are the same as the Curials these folk worship, and..."
Another low puff of air from the pipe.
"Nothing supernatural about that, son. Fella's got a good head and a good heart, that's all. I sure don't mean to burst your bubble, but I ain't never held with none of that destiny talk."
"Sir?"
"'Course, I don't get out among you earthly folk much, so maybe I don't know nothing about it."
The opal winked.
"You tell Rat I said howdy, but I gotta get back to my rocks. I've been meaning to take a look at this nasty magma buildup out west for a couple decades now."
The image of Earthmover moved without moving and became cold bronze again, shining in the spring sunlight. Alphonse made the sign of thanks Grandmother had taught him and focused back on the ceremony. The shaman spoke Manx, of course, her words mostly unfamiliar to Alphonse's ear, but the power there was unmistakable, joining the two with the High One's blessings. And as she spoke, Alphonse noticed, Rat's eyes strayed, his gaze settling on a young mouse in the congregation, her sash that of an Ottersgate town councillor. Interesting. But then the shaman was raising her paws, the bride and groom turning to the assembly, the maids of honor smiling through their tears, Rat slapping the bobcat on the knee, the skink's whistle leading the hoots and cheers and yips and caws that burst over the meadow and to echo back from the town down the slope and across the channel. Alphonse smiled, swung to the keyboard, and let the music loose, steam gusting into the blue sky above.
"The last story about this rat?"
"No, not at all.
Ratayo Nibbler, Tayo Pastari, the Uncle Rat the kits all watch for. As long as he's with us, we'll have stories to tell about him. And as long as we tell the stories, he'll always be with us."
Bartolomeo Paracas.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you the 20th and final part of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Narration and music were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.